tried to get here last Sunday, and the Lord just helped us so well that I never did get where I was going with this, and so I'm going to try to get there today. I might actually preach a few more Sundays on this passage, I don't know, but I asked you last week how many times this word hallelujah was mentioned in the Bible, and you'd think it'd be all over the Bible, but it's only mentioned four times, and they're all mentioned in this one chapter here, and so there's four mentions of the word hallelujah in your Bible, and we looked at all four of them last week in passing, and I'm going to remind you of that this week, and then I'm going to try to zero in on one of them, and we'll just enjoy some time around the Word of God today. I appreciate you being here. I want to remind you that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a huge difference between fear and compassion. I can have compassion on somebody in a bad shape, whether they be financially troubled or sick or whatever. But the people of God cannot live in fear between now and the coming of the Lord. We cannot. We will lose what God has granted us to operate upon, and that is the power of God and a sound mind and love. And so I want to encourage you with that today, and that will also be a part of what I'm fixing to read to you. Look at Revelation 19 and verse number 1. He said, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts that fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Let's pray together. Lord, I love You. I thank You for the good singing that we've heard today. I thank You for the time of worship and the time of Sunday school. But I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to see the demonstration of God's power in this passage of Scripture and help us to deal with it as You've so strongly placed this on my heart in these weeks. God, help us. We need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's four times this word alleluia is mentioned in this passage of Scripture. The first time we see it is at the final justice. In verse number 1, He said, "After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia." Now I'm going to get back to this one here in a minute. They say, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. There's coming a day when all voices, all the people in heaven will praise God at the same time. And I am looking forward to that. I cannot wait. It's going to be wonderful. I mean, you will be completely and totally in a perfect glorified body. Body, soul, and mind will be in perfect shape. And you'll be in harmony during that time. And I'm looking forward to it. Now, in verse 3, we see the forever judgment. In verse 3, He said, "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." Again, this is the word Alleluia shouted by all of the people in heaven. What are they praising God for in this verse? Now, I'm going to deal with this in detail in the future. I don't even like to think about it, this verse. And I'll tell you why. There's going to come a day when God is going to throw the enemy of God into hell and the lake of fire. I don't like to think about that. I don't. But it's okay to be happy that the enemy of God will be destroyed. Now, in this particular verse, and I'll preach on this in depth in the future, but in verse 2 and 3, we see that God is going to take the enemy of God, which in these verses is talking about the Catholic Church. And not just a Catholic Church, but the world system of Roman Catholicism that comprises 1.5 billion people right now, many of which are in the Capitol building and in the Supreme Court, and some of which occupy the White House. That whole crowd that is turning against the people of God will be thrown into the lake of fire, and we will see the smoke of their torment rising out of the lake of fire, and we will raise our voices with this word again, hallelujah. I don't like the thought of knowing that somebody out there or somebody in here gets thrown in the lake of fire. I don't like that thought. But in my heart, I know that it's okay for me to be excited that the enemies of God that are wreaking havoc in our lives and that are causing problems for your children and that are causing problems in your school system and that are causing problems in your job and in your life that you know to be normal, God is going to take that whole crowd, throw them into the lake of fire, and in that moment, we're going to have a worship service as a result of it. Therefore, I say this with the love of God in my heart toward every lost person, with the love of God in my heart toward every member of the enemies of God, hoping they'll get saved, but that if they don't, the vengeance of God will take care of that crowd that is standing against the people of God. Now, the modern church won't tell you that, and I'm sorry that they're foolish enough to skip over this truth in the Bible. But the truth of it is, God will have the final say, and He'll shut them up. Now, I'll deal with that in depth in the future. That's the forever judgment. But then in verse 4, we see the forgiven justified. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. These are the representatives of the Jewish nation. By the way, I told the men's Sunday school class today, in case you haven't heard, the Jews are already developing the dye that they're going to be using to color the garments of the third temple. They're just as sure that they will be building that third temple that they're basically telling all the other 200 nations of the world to go jump in a lake. They don't care. They don't care even if we hang with them. I hope we do. But even if we don't, they're building their temple. They will sacrifice their red heifer that they have already, multiple ones. And now they're creating the dye, they're manufacturing the colored dye that will go into the fabrics to make the uniforms for that third temple. I read their news story this week. What does that mean? That means if you're not right, you better get right. That means that if you're not faithful, you better get faithful. And that means that if you're not solid, you better get solid, because there's coming a day when God is going to straighten this whole mess out. Some of y'all are so callous to what I just said that it bothers me terribly. Bothers me terribly that you in your soul, and I say this with, I love everybody in here, please, but you're in your soul, you're so hardened. Sin has ruined your life. And it doesn't matter to you whatsoever if you're right with God or faithful to God, or it don't matter to you. You're here because maybe somebody brought you here. Maybe you're here because you feel like it's a habit, or maybe you're here because you want to feel better and you think that church is, and hey, those ladies were singing that song, I will not boast of anything, but I will boast in Jesus Christ. That excites me. My soul has been ministered to today as a result of the singing of God's praises. I mean, I thank God for that. But at the same time, if you're here today and your heart is calloused and hardened toward the things of God, and you could care less whether or not you were in the presence of God or not, you've got a serious problem. You need to deal with that, because the Lord's coming and your family's going to die and go to hell if you don't get right with God and get them in. Well, that went over well. The forgiven justified. Now, look at verse number 5. The faithful joyous. We looked at this a little while last week. It said a voice came out of the throne. That's God's church. Sitting on the throne with God. Do you know that? We'll be sitting on the throne with God, God's church. We're not going to be in some other compartment of heaven hoping that He'll come by and see us. We're not going to be in some kind of third-rate outside outfit that has to somehow buy a ticket to get to go backstage with Jesus. That's not who our God is. There are people in the world that require that. If you wanted to meet some higher-up person in the government, you'd have to go through a background check and a security check. Hey, when I get to heaven, there's not going to be no background check because my background's gone. And so is yours. When you got saved, you don't need a background check anymore. That man, you can't. There's certain political officials that you can't get within 100 feet of unless you have some kind of paperwork and this and that. They're made out of the same dirt that you're made out of. Ain't no difference. That man, the faithful, joyous, overcomers of the Laodicean church age will be there on the throne of God. Now, I want you to go back to verse 1. I want you to look at this list of things. There's a list of things here that we are worshiping God in heaven about. Now, this same list that we will be worshiping God in heaven should be what we're worshiping God about now. Now, I didn't want to do a bunch of fussing today. I just wanted to come to the house of God and worship. But I'm gonna interject this here. Some of you don't worship anymore. Some of you are so hampered or hindered by what's going on in the world today that you don't even know how to pray anymore. You don't even really understand what it is to worship God. And I want to encourage you with this list of things here today, these words. I'm just going to define these words to you. And maybe you can find a place of worship in your own heart today. Worship is the key to surviving anything. I could take you to the lowest times of my life where I didn't feel like there wasn't a soul on planet Earth that gave a rip about me. And I could go to God with a song or a scripture and know, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh or song, when my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Does He care? Oh yes, He cares. When you feel like your own family don't care about you, and you feel like your neighbors could care less if you were dead or alive, there is a God that cares. And you can. David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'm telling you, there have been so many times in my life where I've had to encourage my own self because there was not a word of encouragement around me. There was not a lifter up of my old fleshly head. But there was a God that could lift up my soul. And if I hear the worst news of my entire life, if I hear it today, I tell you how confident I am about this. If I hear the worst news of my whole life today, if I hear it, I'm confident that I'll be able to go into a place with my Bible and I'll be able to sit down and I'll be able to read some precious passage of Scripture, and the Spirit of God will be able to take His ointment and soothe my pained soul from the inside out. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. All the stuff you're hearing about on the news, that's what you're eating. And if that's what you're eating all the time, that's what your life is depending on. I'm not depending on what they're doing in Washington. I'm not depending on what's happening at the health department. My soul is anchored in the blood. And if I can have that confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ to carry me to heaven, I ought to have the confidence that He will keep me safe until I get there, because He promised He would. Now, look back at your verse. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, say the word. Say it again. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord. What are these words here? Let's look at these five words. The first word is hallelujah. It is a word of reverence where you are. Listen, this is a lesson on worship, okay? You need to learn how to worship because you're fixing to do a whole lot of it. When we get to heaven, we might as well do it here. There's an outfit out there that wants to destroy you. They want to make you so defeated and dependent on them that you don't even know how to hold your head up on your own. But there's a God in heaven that wants you depending on Him. And when you're leaning, listen to this. God's in heaven. The world is down and God is up. And if you're leaning on the world, where's your head? But if you're leaning on God, where's your head? looking. Hebrews said, Paul said in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And if you're looking at the world, you're looking down. But if you're looking at God, you're looking up, and you're going to realize that everything's going to be okay. Oh, my soul. This word hallelujah is a word of reverence, how we respect God and the reverence of God. We're looking at Him. It means praise ye the Lord. It means hallelujah. It means praise to Jehovah. It means holy joy and exaltation. Now, when is the last time that you looked to God? I'm not asking you about your cousin or your spouse or your mama or your uncle or your pastor. I'm not asking about it. I'm asking about you. When's the last time that you lifted your head and said, hallelujah? Or as we would say colloquially in these mountains, hallelujah. When's the last time that you looked to God and said, praise the Lord? Besides when you got a close parking spot at the Dollar General. And you know I'm right. And you're probably not even really praising the Lord in that matter. It's just spewing off your mouth. Well, praise God. And that's good. But I'm not talking about when it's 93 degrees outside and you don't want to walk too far. Although that's good to thank God for. I thank God for everything. And everything if they don't take me wrong. When is the last time you and God, it was just you and God? I'm telling you, Brother Dale, if we could get some worshipers in the house of God. Oh, my soul. You talking about an environment of praise. And just lift, and some of you need to just do it now. It don't go bother me. I love to see people worship. I mean, I love it. Some of you right now, you just need to think in your mind about you and God. You can mute me for a minute, because you do that anyway sometimes. You can mute me for a minute. Hey, man, you know that's right. You can just push the mute button and look to God and say hallelujah. I think I'm going to do it. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. I know this world's bad, but you're good. I know the devil's bad, but you're good. I know that my flesh is worthless, but you're good. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 That's right. Teach your kids to say amen. That's right. Don't bother me at all. Well, what will they say? I hope they get excited about it. If it bothers you to hear a kid praise the Lord, you need to get born again. Quote me on that. I'll sign it. We ought to want our kid. Hey, Carson wants to be a pitcher. I hope Carson gets to be the best pitcher that's ever thrown a baseball. But if I work with him to be a pitcher and he does not know how to look to heaven and say, how firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and I'll still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by God's mighty, omnipotent hand. Hey, if I can teach my kids how to sing to God and how to pray and how to read their Bible, I'm totally okay with her. I don't care what else they know. I hope they know. I hope they learn how to cook. Praise God. I hope they learn how to fix a car. I hope they learn how to be the best at their job and the best at their school. But I want them to know how to be the best when it comes to worshiping God. We need to know how to do it. And some of y'all are like, well, I don't have it. I just come to church, sit on a pew. Listen, let me tell you something. God loves a pew sitter because he wants you to be faithful. But there's another step outside of that where you learn how to worship. You learn the holiness of God and how that he has pulled your worthless, unworthy soul out of the lake of fire where we belonged. and has seated you in a heavenly place, we ought to be shouting the roof off of this church. But you're so aggravated over the liberals, and I am too. Can I get an amen on that? And you're so aggravated over what happened on the news, and you're aggravated on what ain't in your bank account, and you're aggravated over what your neighbor done with the fence line or whatever, and you come into the house of God with steam coming out your ears, and your eyeballs are cracked with red all over them, and you're just ready to whoop somebody, and I think most of us are. You ought to get full of the Holy Ghost and just lift your hand toward heaven and thank God you're not burning in the lake of fire right now, and thank God that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You need to learn to worship! Yeah, it's bad out there, but I'm telling you, if you'll get right, it can be real good in here. If I wasn't preaching, I'd be shouting right now. It means the word hallelujah means holy joy and reverence. Now I'm gonna throw this in there. Don't get sideways with me, but I'm gonna tell you what the Bible says. According to this definition, some of the reason that y'all don't have any joy in your worship is because it requires holiness. And some of you are so covered up in a mound of sin that if you tried to worship, you wouldn't be able to. I'll tell you this. There are times that I want to worship and I know that there's a hindrance. And this is how it works. This is how that mountain of sin gets off of you. And I just go to God, 1 John 1:9. I go and I talk to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I want to worship, but I know that there's a hindrance. Something. And before you get that sentence out of your mouth, you're talking to God, the Spirit of God inside of you will say, you told that lie yesterday. Or you watched that movie you knew you shouldn't have watched. Or, and I'm not trying to step on your toes, I don't read your mail. I've never come and looked at your internet activity, I could care less. But I'll tell you right now, if there's something between you and God, God knows about it. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you know about it. And if you have forgotten, he'll remind you about it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we go to God and you just pour it out to him. And before you know it, he's got everything cleaned up. And before you know it, you're worshiping God and you're just thanking him for being good to you. And the reason I'm preaching this is because I want you to do it. I won't get all of you, but if I can get a couple of you to go home this afternoon and get your Bible and to turn off whoever it is that you've got to see today or hear or whatever, and you just get with God for just a few minutes, I'm telling you, he'll minister to you, and you won't care what they do on Capitol Hill, and you won't care what they're doing in Hollywood or New York City. All you'll care about is your heavenly home that surely is mine. Amen. That's a word of reverence. Then we see this next word. He said, hallelujah. And he gives four reasons: salvation, glory, honor, and power. Those are the four reasons he's worshiping. And I'm going to give you these four words and we'll close. The word hallelujah is a word of reverence, but the word salvation is the word of redemption. God has, well, some of y'all have forgotten that you got saved. You just forgot. You forgot that you was a, I mean, if you were a sinner, and you were, and if you were on your way to hell, and you were, and God saw fit, listen what I'm fixing to tell you. Listen, you could have been born in Calcutta, India, on your way. You could have been born in Khartoum, Sudan. I talked to a fella this week from Khartoum, Sudan. His mama works for women's rights in the UN. And he lives in Rims Creek. Did you know that the women's lib movement in the UN for the whole world, she don't live in New York. She don't live in London. She don't live in LA. She lives off of Rims Creek. Her son's a college student that was headed to downtown Asheville Friday night to get drunk. And his mama lives in Rims Creek. Now, why did I tell you that? You could have been born in an environment and never heard the word Bible, never heard the word Jesus, never heard the word heaven. You don't have any idea. You could have been in an environment where they hate women or an environment where they hate you or an environment where they don't even feed you, you end up starving your whole life. God has blessed this place and God has blessed you, and you ought to thank Him for it. I'm embarrassed at the people that don't worship. You could have been born in at the base of that volcano in the Philippine Islands, and you could have been covered in ash and lava before you were old enough to ever hear a missionary tell you about Jesus. Because that happens. You could have been in a car wreck the night before you got saved and died and went to hell. But for some reason, God waited another day to let you live. I get these fools, these absolute fools that are trying to change the landscape of the next generation by indoctrinating our children in the educational system. They ought to be thrown in prison for fraud because they're not educators, they're liars. Salvation. You ought to be praising God because you're going to heaven. Now, if you're not going to heaven, you need to get born again. But if you're saved, that's what that crowd in heaven, we're all singing together. There's the Jews, there's the Gentiles, there's the whole crowd, millions of them from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. They say, hallelujah! And what's the first thing they say after hallelujah? Not I'm in heaven, not I get to walk on gold, not hey, I got a new outfit. What is it? Hallelujah! Salvation! When you get, you may not realize it now because you ain't never seen heaven. But when you get there, you'll be like, well, I sure am glad I did the right thing. And salvation means deliverance. It means preservation. It means safety from danger and destruction. It means the safety of the soul. It means a future salvation as well as a present salvation. It means benefits and blessings opposed. Listen to this. Benefits and blessings as opposed to earthly problems. I'm going to say it again. Because then we're like, whatever. If you'll get a hold of this, it'll help you. Benefits and blessings as opposed to earthly problems. We'd have a real worship service if some of y'all could come in here and thank God for your benefits and blessings as opposed to sitting in the muck of all the earth's problems. Salvation did that for you. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You have the power to live like God lives, to live in the presence of God, because He saved you, and you can be right and do right and live right. Amen. Some of y'all, I think your teeth would fall out if you said amen. I think that's why you don't do it. You don't have the enough of that glue in there to keep them in. So you can, amen's one of them words you can say with your teeth shut. Amen. Ah, thank you, Ed. We ought to be praising God. But what about, who cares? You're going to heaven now. We got to fight the devil. I know that. And hey, onward Christian soldiers. But when it comes to Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we ought to be in the choir. We ought to be trying to say, wait a minute, we got too many up here. We're going to crash the stage. And we ought to pick one of them songs. I mean, Raleigh, I mean, we got some good songs. But I mean, what if we got up here and everybody went to the Red Book and we tore it, we opened it up, we started with, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I hear the scoffers that ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. Where are they at? They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. My sins are gone. Oh, man, I could shout the roof off of this place. Why? Because I ain't going to hell. If 100 million demons grab me by my toes and dragged me all the way to hell, they'd run into a brick wall. I have no idea what would happen. But I'd probably just lay there like this with my eyes rolling at them. They'd be like, just wait till Gabriel gets here. Y'all are in trouble. The devil's been bothering me. Go talk to God about it. You tell God what the devil's doing, he'll put a stop to it. Job went to God, and God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? He said, okay, you can mess with him, but don't touch his body. Job killed all his kids, 10 children, had 10 funerals. Burnt buildings down, I mean, left and right, everything went bad. Devil went back to God, and he said, I ain't got him yet. God said, you can touch his body, but don't kill him. You know, God still tells the devil what to do. The devil can't take you down without permission from God himself. You are a child of the King. Start living like it. Well, that went over well. The word of redemption. Then we see the word of rejoicing. He said, alleluia, salvation and glory. The word glory here means brightness, splendor, perfection, heavenly adoration. It means a celebrity. It means that the word glory here means that you look at God as though he is a celebrity, as though he's the greatest of the great, and he is, and the highest of the high, and he is, and the most glorious of all the glorious, and he is. Our exalted view of him as the Trinity, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Alleluia is the word of reverence. Salvation is the word of redemption. Glory is the word of rejoicing. But then we see honor is the word of reputation. Honor. The word honor here means value and price. Is there anything more valuable or of more value than God? It means his rank and his office. It means exalting him for who he is. That's what we're going to be doing when we get in heaven. I don't know how to explain this. Did you know that you can live in heaven until we get to heaven? You can put your soul in an environment of the presence of God and enjoy the goodness of God here while you're waiting on the rapture or the casket to get you over there. And then when you get there, you're going to be right. You're going to say, why in the world did I not do this a long time ago? It's time to worship. It's time to forget about all the mess of life. And I know that it gets at you. I know it. I know that when you're 2/3 of the way through your Monday and you're working on the clock and you've got the boss screaming in this ear and the other employees fussing at you in this ear, you're not thinking much about God. I know that. I know that it's hard to trudge through life the best you can. But when you get a moment to get out of all of that and to cut the TV off and to put the phone away, and to get with just you and God, you see his honor and how that he is deserving of more respect than anybody in the whole world simply because of who he is. The word of reputation. So we saw alleluia as the word of reverence, and salvation is the word of redemption, and glory is the word of rejoicing, and honor is the word of reputation. But lastly, we see power as the word of respect. Listen, y'all, I wish y'all would just give me 2 minutes, maybe three. But you know what the first definition of the word power means? It means the ability to change something. The word of respect. Did you know that God has the ability to take the worst sinner that you know and change their life? This word power is being used in heaven to worship God. Because all of that whole crowd that's there knows that they don't deserve to be there. And that if hell was a place for every sinner to go, that we would all go there and he would close the lid and forget about us. But because of the power of God, I mean, whether it was on a Monday, somebody touched you, or whether I was on a Wednesday for me, whatever it was in that moment, the power of God surrounded you. Pulverized your soul with the blood of Jesus Christ, broke that old hardened heart, gave you a reason to accept Jesus Christ, and now you're on your way to heaven, you ought to worship God and praise God and thank God, because of where you could be is not where you're at. Everybody in this room could be waking up, wallowing in their own vomit today as a result of a drunk last night, but God in heaven saw fit. Oh my, the ability to change something. The word power means force and strength. It means energy. It means producing motion. Oh, man, I was down, but now I'm up. I'm here, and one of these days I'm going to be there. It means influence and command and authority. And lastly, it means, this word power means the ability of the source. There are times that French Broad and Duke Energy have a break in the system and somebody has to go repair it. But there's never been a day in 100 billion years that there's ever been a break in the power of God. There's not a day that you have to go to God and say, Lord, I need this. And God has to say, well, I'm charging the battery. I'll consider it when it turns green. Never once. There's never been a soul that went to God on his knees and cried out to God for salvation that God said, well, grace would have been good yesterday, but grace ran out today. Never! And if it should have run out on anybody, it should have run out on me. Because I've failed him so many times since the day I was born again. I could go to hell 100 times over what I've done since I've been saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, has never run out of grace.
Amen.
Salvation and glory and honor and power. We ought to worship God.